Warning, if you are under 18, you better turn around right now because this podcast is not for you. This is an explicit podcast for those ages 18 or over and divulged into the devious lifestyle of kinkery and BDSM. Again, if you are under 18, get the fuck out. All right. They're gone. Now we can get on to the show. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, my friends, my chronically ill kinksters, my fellow chronically kinky freaks, geeks, pervs, and deviants. I'm your host, Miss Madam Mayhem. This is my podcast, the Devious and Disabled Chronically Kinky Podcast. Today's show falls into the category I like to call Diary of a Disabilidom. That's me, your resident disabled dominatrix. I like to share stories, little bits about my life as a disabled dame, and how I've created that life and the lifestyle that's now best. Today's show is going to focus on how being disabled in kink is hard, but it doesn't need to be harder than, like, already being in a disabled body is. I go over how I've created a stable of slaves and become somewhat of a taskmaster in their lives. Various stories about my life and sessions and glimpses into how I play and the energy usage that it takes to do certain kinds of play as a disabled domain. There is a little warning too here that I tell a little story, a couple of them, about some golden showers as rewards. Just little tidbits and the tasks and such that I've given my service subs. So that's today's show. I hope you enjoy and thanks for listening. I wanted to just dive right in and start with the fact that I haven't put out a post in over 6 months. Last year was a really rough year for me, despite things getting a little bit calmer regarding the pandemic in some ways. My own personal health took some twists and turns, not necessarily dives. You know, some things got better, some things got worse, and migraines were one of those things that got much, much worse. And so creating the podcast became the lowest priority. However, still very important to me. So I now have great news. I've been on the Ajovy migraine shot for 3 months now, with some difficulties getting it and some, you know, snags along the way, but we're making it happen. So now I can start this project again, which has been very dear to my heart. I really believe that bringing accessibility to the kink community is one of my callings. Overall, just bringing awareness to disabled bodies in general is very important to me. However, within this community, in this lifestyle, I think that there's a lot of disabled and chronically ill people that are drawn to it for various reasons. And for me, being disabled is already hard enough. Having, you know, alternative ways of going about my relationships and my sexual experiences makes it a little harder in some ways and easier in others. And so one of the things that I wanted to discuss today was that while being disabled is hard, being disabled and in kink doesn't have to be harder. In fact, it can make it easier. So the day-to-day is already difficult. You can have problems with your hands or moving certain parts of your body or just having migraines and not being able to function. There's so many varieties of disability. And if you are a sub and disabled, you have a whole different other set of feelings regarding how you're able to be of service with a disabled body. Well, as a dominant who's disabled or in a disabled body, I have my own set of concerns about whether I have the capacity to bring that dominant nature to a situation if I'm not feeling my best. But I'm also able to utilize my dominant nature and the feelings of my submissives who want to, and I bring in close to my circle and understand my disabled needs, that I put them in the perfect position to serve as, like, simple laborers and then use my dominant acts as a reward in themselves. So I found a way to rework my disability, selectively choosing my submissives and sharing that connection with them so that they understood that maybe I was having my procedures and I wouldn't be available for a week or two on end, but that when I was able and when I felt that they would be useful to my needs, that I would call upon them. So I started having a massage slave that would come and give me massages right before I would go into my injections to kind of give my body a little bit of relax, because before I went in for these procedures, my body got really much more difficult to function, and I wasn't doing things, so I couldn't do things before the procedure, I couldn't do things after the procedure, because one, like, end of it, my body was coming apart, and on the other end, my body's recovering. So there were 2 to 3 weeks at a time that I wouldn't be able to do much, but I would allow certain service submissives to come around and help in those times. And those are the ones that I feel the closest to. I eventually grew to having all these other submissives around me that I wanted to do various chores for me, and maybe they're naked while they do it, and maybe they're caged or fully clothed. Mentally, they are serving me as their mistress, and in reality, they are just gardening or breaking down boxes or fixing sinks or building furniture, painting or doing other tasks, just because that's what I want them to do. And they know that that's going to serve me on multiple levels. Because one, if they do a good job, I might reward them with some very good fun or teasing or whatever I have decided that I'm capable of and willing to do that they deserve. Or because they simply know that this is going to take something off my plate for me. And that is the best right there, when there's literally no expectation of a reward if they do something good. Because that's the thing, is most of the time they won't necessarily get a reward, or they'll get the reward much later, because their build up of activities has made me feel like, okay, now I'm going to give them something fun to enjoy. So, and if I'm having spasms and I know that I have a bitch that's up at 3 a.m., I give him a call, he comes over, gives me a massage, he leaves. He cannot expect to get anything in return. Now, maybe the next time he comes over, I'm a little extra. So when he comes back over another time, maybe I'm more willing to give him his reward, or maybe he'll be doing more service for me. Sometimes the service is sexual, a lot of times it's not. Probably 90% of my submissives, it's a non-sexual relationship. I mean, at least on my end. I'm sure on their end, it is sexual. But I utilize these slaves and these submissives, these service subs, by giving them tasks. One of them calls me a taskmaster, and I love it. I'm very good at giving tasks and accumulate rewards for these subs. So I have one sub who makes me ice cream. And when he comes and brings me the ice cream, you know, maybe we take a hot tub together. And during that hot tub, he gives me a foot massage. And then maybe, you know, some more fun happens when we're in the tub. I love tub play. Like teasing, tub teasing. Especially with my big old feet. Like, that's one of my signature moves. I just wanted to let other disabled kinksters and disabled doms know how I, or newbies, understand how I kind of build my, how I build my, like, stable of slaves. Like I said, I have one that builds me furniture. That is one of my most cherished DS relationships. He's my handy slave, and I have him come in, and he built me a gorgeous bondage bed frame and a throne to have foot service and other things worshipped. I have a trample table and cabinetry and, like, window box sets for me to sit on in my house. All of these things built custom for me. And his reward is that I beat him, I dress him up like a sissy, I sometimes bring in a friend to beat him, or we piss on him together, I'll sit on his face, suck on my toes, Mostly beatings, a little bit of pegging. He waited over 2 years to get pegged, after building multiple pieces for me, moving items, other playtime as well, to the point where we eventually, like, worked up to this place where I felt he had really earned his pegging. It takes a lot of energy out of someone like me who's a disabled dom, and maybe pegging's not my, like, first go-to move. It's not, like, one of my top kinks. It's something I enjoy doing, and I enjoy doing it as a reward for my slaves and my subs who do a good job. And it keeps me safe at a distance. So, like, I don't really have sex with 90% of my slaves and subs. At least not in a way that, like, could put me in any risk for STIs or anything of the such. I usually keep that kind of sexual experience away from my encounters with my submissives, because that's just the dynamic that I keep with them. And most of the time it has nothing to do with my own need to come or desire to come. Like, I don't go to that place with most of my subs. Mostly it's a lot of mind fucking and then rewarding if they do a good job at whatever it is that I've had them tasked to do. However, I have had sex with subs, and it is fun. So I usually keep sex out of my DS encounters with my subs. And what I was getting at is that, like, pegging, it takes a lot of energy. A lot of kink activities take a certain level of energy when you're topping or you're doming someone. And I don't always have that energy, is really what I'm getting at. And so those things build up, and I reward them when I have the energy. Or, for say, like, it comes to pegging, I don't do it if I feel like my body is not going to be able to handle that much motion or whatnot. I honestly do a lot of toy play, just holding the toys, not necessarily attaching them to my hips. However, that's very fun. So I still do it, just more occasionally, and as, like, a very big treat for the people who've served me for a long time, and I feel like they really earned their spot, and to get their spot hit, which I mean, prostate massage is really fun when you're with someone who's comfortable enough with themselves, and is willing to open up, and let you dive deep. At least with me. And so it's really about pacing myself and utilizing my subs and my slaves to make my life better on the day-to-day, not just in a sexual way. As a disabled dom, this is, like, as a disability dom, my goal is to make my everyday life easier. And then I can utilize the energy I have to do fun things like kinkery instead of boring things like chores and cleaning and whatnot, which I, you know, still do, but it's nice to have someone else come in and delegate those tasks out. I've had times where I've had multiple slaves in the house working on various projects together to help me move or help me do this or that. I don't know if I mentioned, but a couple years ago when I was first moving into my house, I had lost my place in a fire, and during that time my submissives really rallied around me, even more so than some of my friends. Just my vanilla friends, like my kink people, came together and they really helped a lot, and they helped make sure that I had somewhere to sleep and somewhere to stay at times, and to make me feel good when I didn't have my hot tub or a massage or something. So I'm very grateful for the servants, the slaves, and the subs in my life. And I'm fortunate that I've been able to create this stable of subs. If you're a disabled sub and you're struggling to figure out how to serve your dominant because maybe you are bedbound or have very low energy or chronic fatigue or something, and you can only do a few little things for your dominant, maybe it's just getting them some tea in the morning or having some kind of small ritual that you're capable of doing, or maybe you're not able to do any of the service type things and you want to
just be a submissive to, like, a pleasure dom. That's definitely a thing. It's not my thing. I am a pleasure dom with some of my submissives that I feel like have earned that side of me. If you aren't a service submissive, maybe you're a pet, maybe you're a, baby girl, maybe you're a, maybe you're just a masochist, and you just, like, you have pain, and you feel that masochistic pain and kinkery helps to combat or cover some of your chronic pain, and you're just a bottom, and you really need someone to come in and top the shit out of you occasionally so that you can get out of your headspace and your pain space or your mental space or whatever it is that this puts you in your body and brings you to focusing on this new sensation, this different sensation, this painful sensation, whatever it is. Maybe it just brings you out of yourself. Maybe it turns you on. Maybe you just enjoy having someone else come in and do with you as they will. That is definitely still a submissive experience, if you will, if that's what you want, you know, want to call it or connect to in some way. I really feel that you can be disabled on either top, bottom, submissive, dominant, and it's just about how you work it for yourself and the people around you, and being honest with the people around you about what your needs are. So if you're a sub, and you're with a dom who wants a service submissive, but you're unable to be of service in any other way than, like, eating them out or going down on them, then that's what you talk to them about, and you say, I'm capable of doing sexual things, but I'm not going to be expected to stand in a certain position for so long because my body can't do that. You know, it's just about communicating what your needs are, what you're comfortable doing, finding someone that meshes well with, and making it so that it brings a better experience to your day-to-day. So for me, bringing a better experience to my day-to-day is having these subs that come in and do tasks and chores, and then they're rewarded with playtime and fun, and that's fun for me because, like I said, I save my energy to do the fun things, and I very much enjoy inflicting pain and bossing people around and looking at them and making them do things for me or on themselves or whatever. I'm action-based. I really enjoy putting people into certain positions and making them feel different things. But it's because I felt like they earned that in my life. Because for me to be able to put that energy toward playtime, I need to not be putting my energy toward chores. So they do the chores, I do the playtime. It's a great balance. Now, if you're a sub and your dom is like me and wants to have you do certain tasks in order to earn your play, you'll have to discuss what tasks you feel like you're capable of, or if that's not a dynamic that you're looking for. A lot of people aren't looking for that dynamic. I strongly believe that if you are a sub, a slave, you feel that need to serve a dominant.
What I would say is that as a sub, you approach a dominant, explain to them that you're disabled, tell them that you feel the need, you know, the desire to serve under them, how they would best utilize you, you know, how they feel best, you know, connected to you, and how they operate as a DS relationship. And then talk to each other about what makes the most sense for you and them, and you put some of these steps into action. You discuss what you feel like you're capable of doing, what they're interested in having you do, sexually, non-sexually, wherever this leads you, and you put small tasks into practice, and then you communicate on how you're able to do them, and if it's working for you. You check in after each time, each day, each week, write a journal. It's really important to keep track of these things because it evolves. If you're at the beginning of your journey, now is a great time to take a look at the things you're interested in exploring and then interested in not, and then come back, check again in another year or two and see if you're in the same place or if you've tried those things or if you're not interested in those things anymore. Go from there. You literally just talk. It's all about communication. But if you're feeling that need to serve, then you should express yourself that that's the desire you're having. That serving is something that makes you happy, is to make someone else happy. That's something I come across all the time, as a top, as a bottom, as a dom, as a sub. It's very common. You're gonna find a lot of people who enjoy getting pleasure by giving pleasure in whatever capacity that comes. And if you're truly feeling that need to serve as a submissive, then what your dom decides makes them happy should be exactly what you want to do. You know, in a perfect world, yes, but also in deeper DS dynamics, this is very common. Not even just common, but expected and part of the dynamic and the contract of the relationship, essentially. In these deeper dynamics, you know, you can have lighter dynamics, you can have in the bedroom dynamics, you can have full 24/7 dynamics, you can have portions of the day or weekends or, you know, various ways that you develop your relationship. It's just a, like, choose your own path type instead of fit the traditional cookie cutter puzzle pieces to an American white picket fence life. You know, maybe you want that and you want the little dark dungeon in the basement that you have your playtime in. Or maybe your whole house is that dungeon. Who knows? Especially when it's someone who identifies as a service submissive. It's not being sexual. Like, it's not about the sexuality of it and sexualizing of it. It's about serving and pleasing your master, your mistress, your dom, your owner. In a deeper DS dynamic, if that's something you're building for in the lifestyle. Everything that I've been talking about has been my lifestyle as a based, for sure. Not really pickup play. These are all people that I have a long-standing, years-long relationship with. Like I said, some of them have waited years to get to a certain point. And that's just how I operate, and that's what I told them from the beginning. It will take you a long time to earn your play. You will have to be available for the tasks that I deem fit. And I move slow. I will take everything into account. And then, of course, very importantly, tell me what it is that you are, you know, interested in. And I'm talking maybe 4 or 5 years with these people. So it's, you know, been important to me to express to them that I moved slowly, that is how I operate, that I want to know that you're going to be here for the long haul, because as a disabled dom, I need to know that I can rely on you down the road, or if during play something happens to me as your dom, you're going to not just flip out, you're going to be prepared and either know what to do or be able to do exactly what I need you to do to help get me into a good place. So aftercare, essentially, is important for not just subs, but doms as well, and especially when you're dealing with a disabled top or dom. Another thing to be aware of is that there's just a finite amount of energy. When you're disabled, every little thing takes an extra amount of energy. If you're aware of the spoon theory, this is a great example of that, and you should go look that up. And if you're not, you should go look that up. But ideally, I just cannot always be on and available. And I don't expect you to be, but when you plan to be on and available for me, then you should be on and available. And with each of the tasks that I have set out for you to do to make my life easier, that saves me. Like I said, the energy that I need. Everything in life takes energy, and DS is no different. Kink is no different.
Now, if you're just playing, if you're not in a DS dynamic, if you just want to be submissive in a encounter, most of the time I feel like those are going to just be sexual. And again, I can't strongly speak to that, but if you're going to be bottoming in situations like with rope or with, you know, with a sadist, some kind of pain-based spankings or implements or something being used on you, or you're being cuffed, or you're being, tied in various positions. If your body, as a disabled person or a chronically ill person, you have certain areas that aren't conducive to being hit, to being tied. A great thing that I learned from another dom top of mine, a very good friend, was to both, you need to talk to your top or your dominant about what it is that they need to avoid in certain areas that can't be hit or can't be having pressure on it or something. Is another thing is if you're doing like a beating scene or some kind of spanking or you're using implements, if there's like a hip or a shoulder or even a hand or something that just shouldn't be touched, putting a big X on it with a marker, a Sharpie, use alcohol to take the Sharpie off. It works, I promise. I keep alcohol wipes everywhere for that reason. But just put a big X on the spot that you don't want to be tied or touched or hurt or whatever. That's a great visual symbol to your top, to your dom, to avoid this area, especially if they're deep into a scene with you and are unable to necessarily, you're unable to communicate during that scene because you've fallen into a subspace. Maybe this is a brand new play partner and they're not as familiar with your disabilities and your conditions. So having that visual representation there is a constant reminder, avoid this area. I'm trying to think of a few other like bottom submissive tips that I can give. This was a very top-based, my experience-based show. But I would love to get a disabled, chronically ill submissive on the show and find out what tips they have and what experiences they have had being disabled and chronically ill in the kink community as a submissive, how they've navigated the choppy waters of finding a dominant to play with in those ways, and how those experiences impacted them, and why you either tell or don't tell certain things to people that you're seeing in the kink world. I personally feel that in the kink lifestyle, it's a lot easier to convey to your partner or potential partner what is going on with you, what you can and can't do, what you're interested in and not interested in, because communication is the cornerstone of this entire dynamic. It's all about communicating your needs, what you want, what you like, what you're not into, with the person who also, you know, likes the same thing or doesn't. You know, it's good to find those things out before you're tied down to a bed and they're forcing an orgasm, and that's not something that you like. You don't enjoy being forced into an orgasm. You just want to feel things, but not too, and you know, like, you have to really discuss what it is that you want to explore or experience with your top or dom as a submissive. I ask my subs, what would be your ideal session? What are your experiences? What have you liked? What have you not liked? What are your hard limits? I find out all of these things so that once they're done doing whatever tasks it is, whether it's an hour's worth of tasks, 15 minutes worth of tasks, or months of coming in and doing various tasks for me without full reward. Because when I have all of the information about what it is that they truly desire, and I can tease them into that moment of just truly craving this act or this thing, then it's all the better when they get it, because they know that I've been planning it and building to it. And so, while I knew one of my subs had a fetish or a desire to have a golden shower. And I waited and I built this scene that after he brought in some of the furniture that he built and put it up on the wall and did all of that, I planned this session where the next time he came over, I would surprise him with another one of my doms, and we beat him for like half an hour, and I teased him, and then he was blindfolded and collared, and I just dragged him into the bathroom, sat him down on the floor, and we both just stood over him and pissed hard all over his body. He was shaking. This had to have been the most exciting, erotic, and just surprising experience for this handy slave, because he had no idea it was coming. But I have known that golden showers were something he liked. If I knew golden showers were something he didn't like, that would not have been a reward, right? So talking to your potential partner about everything, what you can do, what you can't do, what you want to do. What you want to do might conflict with what you can't do, so talk about how you can make those things happen without it injuring you. Or if you're someone like myself who has spontaneous injuries due to my condition, then talk about how you both together deal with that injury or that mishap. You talk about it. Talk about everything with your partner. Or potential partner. And if you're not comfortable enough to tell your potential partner about your disability or your condition or your pain or what you like or what you don't like, you should probably not be with that person. If they're not giving you the sense that you can share with them all of these things about yourself, I wouldn't be putting yourself in the situation to be taken by this person in whatever capacity that portrays itself. So if you're a sub and you're not conveying these things to your dom, you can end up in a very tricky and scary situation. If you're a dom in a situation with a sub and they haven't conveyed to you what it is that they like and they dislike, and you use something like a golden shower as a reward, but that's really, you know, something disgusting and terrible that they would never want, that's a punishment, essentially. Not that I'm saying you should use something that's disgusting and they don't want as a punishment. You should talk about what would be fair punishments for your submissives if you're a dominant, and vice versa. If you're a submissive, discuss with your dominant what they consider to be a punishment. These are all discussions that should be happening before you play with someone. Or if you've just lightly played with someone or gotten to know them a little bit and you haven't dove deep into these discussions, it's the next step. It's to really know your partner, whether they're someone you've been with for a long time and you're starting kink dynamic with, or someone that's supposedly very experienced before you play. And you need to talk with them about what it is that is going to best suit you in this situation. So I feel like I've covered quite a few different things today, mostly regarding, you know, how I've utilized slaves and servants and subs on how to make my day-to-day better and make my disabled life a lot easier. I hope that some of these tips have come across to you. Use what you got and talk. That's really what it comes down to. You gotta be able to talk. So, if you are interested in joining me on this podcast and having discussions about disability, chronic illness, kinkery, sex, relationships, any of the like, please send me an email at deviousanddisabled@gmail.com. I would love to talk with you. That's going to be it for my show today. Thank you very much for listening. I'm hoping to put out a show every 2 weeks right now, so twice a month. If you have any topics you'd like me to discuss, please shoot me an email with that. I'm also on Twitter as Disabilidom, DisibiliDom. You can also find me on FetLife as Disabilidom. I look forward to talking with more of you and sharing my experiences and insights. I have a play partner on the way over now, so I'm going to go get ready. But for all of you, I wish you a wonderful, happy new year. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And I will be hoping to be putting out a Rare Disease Day podcast at the end of the month for February 28th. So hopefully if I can get some other rare diseased kinksters to join me, I'd love to do a panel for that show. And if not, you know, we'll do it next year. But I have a couple other EDSers that are interested. If we can get some other folks that are considered rare diseases that celebrate Rare Disease Day to talk about their relationship with their condition and kinkery, that would be fantastic.
So guys, this is me telling you to reach out, let's connect, always remember, play safe, sane, and consensual. Signing off for you here today, it's your host, Madam Mayhem, your Disabilidom. Stay kinky, my friends.